Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. To start off, I want to thank all of you for your prayers and your cards and your concern for me when I've been sick. I'm 98% out of the woods, maybe only 95%, but that's a big improvement from where I started about 10 days ago. And we need to be careful to take care of ourselves, and we need to understand what we need to do and how we can handle a lot of these things with natural therapies and ways of handling it. Now, this may require you to do a little study on the internet, but there's all kinds of material for herbal and natural ways of health maintenance. And that agrees with the scripture in Psalm 104 and verse 13 that God gave herbs for the service of man. And so, with that said, let's see if we can keep ourselves in good health this up and coming winter. I expect there's going to be an onslaught and kickback on the various COVID, how many different ways it's divided itself down to now. And we don't know what the weather is going to be like. Now, there are a lot of things that I need to cover today, but I want to make an announcement for next week now so that you be here, because it's necessary for me to take a Sabbath, maybe two, just to go through the intricacies of the Day of Atonement. Because the Day of Atonement is under attack right toward what I have received already three different ways. So I'll read you one of the ways, written by a scholar in a church of God. So I want you to think on that. And I want you to understand that Satan has a special interest in those in the church of God, to see if he can deceive, to deflect any way to keep you from God the Father and Jesus Christ. Let me read this one paragraph. It has to do with Satan and Leviticus 16. The only reason Satan even has a toehold in Leviticus 16 is the extra biblical tradition that names Azazel as a fallen angel. Now listen carefully to this. The inspired scriptures are completely devoid of any support of Satan being part of the atonement for sin, while they give abundant, unimpeachable witnesses of Jesus Christ's final and efficacious atonement. Okay. Really? Then he quotes Hebrews 12:2. So this will be a detailed study. One thing we all need to learn is this. Whenever there's a question, whenever there is a dispute, wherever there is something that's hard to understand, we need to get all the facts. And what's important in that too is this, especially in this age that we have of universal media everywhere. Do not think with your emotions. This is the way that all people have been programmed to think today. In every instance where there's a difficulty or a controversy or a contradiction, we need to get all the facts and look at the facts and understand the true facts. Because the whole basis of what we do is this: the truth of God. And that means His Word, all of His commandments, all of His prophecies, everything that there is. Because if we don't have the truth of God and the truth of God and the truth of the Scriptures, and we be honest before God about our own faults and mistakes and repent, we're going to find ourselves trapped by Satan, the devil. So if something comes up, we have to get all the facts. So that's what I'm going to do next Sabbath and maybe the Sabbath after concerning the Day of Atonement. Get all the facts. Now let me answer the question partially by asking another question. Okay? Probably a couple. Whenever you have a problem with Scripture or understanding prophecy, do you find the answer in one place? Or do you find the answer and answers in many different places? As we will see today, you find it in many different places in the Bible. Question: have there been prophecies in the Old Testament that have been given that there isn't one clue in all the Old Testament as to the true understanding of what it's talking about? Yes, the answer is a great many of them. Because you see, the Old Testament is like a lock, and the New Testament is like a key. And the New Testament will open the hard-to-understand prophecies in the Old Testament. I want to ask you a question. Where in the Bible, excluding Revelation, can you find the truth about what we know is the second resurrection? The only answer you can find is in Daniel 12. Many will arise from the dust of the earth, some to everlasting righteousness, some to everlasting shame and contempt. But that doesn't tell us anything. That just tells us the resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. And then Jesus said, all who are in the grave, now all, it means everyone, past, present, and future, shall hear my voice and come forth. Some to life. You need to understand it doesn't say eternal life. Some to life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Where is the key in the New Testament that unlocks the second resurrection? Because you can go Ezekiel 37, and you can read it. And it's just a resurrection as far as that is concerned. But the timing of it is completely devoid in the Old Testament. So what is the timing, and where do we find it? And how do we find it? And where is it in the Bible? All right? Come to Revelation 20. Now, here's the key. One of the greatest fulfillment of prophecy and bringing people into the kingdom of God is going to happen after the 1,000 years are finished. But nothing in the Old Testament tells you about 1,000 years. It tells you events that will happen during the 1,000 years, but it doesn't tell you 1,000 years. The only place it does is Revelation 20. Okay? Now, I'm bringing this out from the point of view that you cannot answer every question that you have in the Bible from the Old Testament or New Testament alone. Now, let me read it. Verse 4 talks about the first resurrection. Let's read that. Okay. Last part of verse 5 says, this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Now, stop and think for a minute. If there's a first one, that means there's more than one, right? Over these, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Quite a time, huh? Where do you find that listed in the Old Testament, 1,000 years? You don't find it. The only place you find it is Revelation 20. Now let's look at another phrase, right here in Revelation 20. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead. Now, that's just quite a statement, isn't it? The rest of the dead. Now, that's in relationship to those who were in the first resurrection. And this is the first place in the entirety of the Bible where you find it that there is a second resurrection. So, if you don't properly and rightly divide the word of God, you will never understand that there will be a second resurrection. Okay? The rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were completed. Okay? Now then, this I give as an example for this purpose. Number one, to show that you have to gather all the scriptures in the entire Bible, and on the scriptures that apply to whatever topic, you get all the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, and put them together for a complete understanding. You can't do like the Protestants, pick this, reject that. And by the way, I saw the greatest example of the Protestant Bible on the news yesterday. You know what that was? That was the release of the order of the raid on Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago. Okay? And what was it? Every page was redacted. Now, Isn't that the way the Protestants and Catholics do? Huh? Not only are their eyes blinded and their minds are closed, but they refuse to look at the Word of God, plain and open. They prefer the redacted version so they can give what they want to give to people so they can, for whatever means, control them or manipulate them or whatever. But if you think that the fake news is fake, and I will be absolutely unrelenting and unbending concerning Protestants and Catholics and Sabbath versus Sunday, that is absolutely the greatest hoax in the history of the world. So when it comes to understanding prophecy and understanding the problems that we face, that we need to realize truth of God. God is true, Jesus is true, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one, look in the mirror and tell yourself, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And that's where we need to always keep our minds. Now, I just want to remind you that it's been 22 years since the New Testament was published. And it's been 18 years since the Bible has been published. Okay? And here's an ad that we're running in the Biblical Archaeological Review, which says, still the most extraordinary Bible ever published. Yes, that Bible, this Bible, in its original order, is the only Bible in English to have all the books of the Old and New Testament together in their original manuscript order in a single volume. So I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about what God has done with His Word, even through all of the other translations, because every place in all these other translations, and we have a booklet for it, written by Albert Ackerman, that compares the Holy Bible in its original order with 27 other English translations, because the truth is, we have no excuse whatsoever in saying, well, I didn't know they took this out, or, well, I didn't know this was removed, because it is all documented. Every change and every error that every translating committee has done had been recorded. And that's why the faithful version, based upon the Masoretic text for Hebrew, translated by Michael Heiss, and we're grateful for his knowledge and understanding and dedication in doing that, and the New Testament that I translated, and I don't take the credit for it, because if I don't do what God wants, doesn't make any difference. Okay? Now then, when you take that and then add to it, as I have said many, many times, and I'll say it over and over and over again, that people can go to a faithfulversion.org and order the whole Bible, commentaries, Bible scripture, appendices, and audio at the same time, and have it right in their hands. Now, let me read you a prophecy. Let's come back here to Deuteronomy 30. Now, this is quite a prophecy. Now, you think about this. How far ahead does God plan? How far ahead do we have yet to go before the end is here? Well, we probably have a lot further than we figured. And I'll explain that in a little bit. Verse 9. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 9. And the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in every work of your hand. In the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, in the fruit of your land, for good. Now, isn't that what everyone wants? Look at what we have today. Trouble, 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 and we'll get into some of it and how serious it really is. For the Lord your God will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. Now notice verse 10. This becomes very important and this applies to all the word of God. If you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God. All right? If. It's on us what we decide to do. We have to choose. Do we choose the truth, the truth, the truth, rightly divide the word of God? Or do we come up with some cockamamie idea and changing of scripture for a personal end? Okay? If you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. In other words, keep the commandments of God and repent, right? Isn't that New Testament doctrine? Now here's the promise. And we are having that fulfilled today, right while we sit wherever we are and read these scriptures. We have the fulfillment right in our hands. For this commandment which I command you today is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. You have a Bible in front of you? You have a Bible in your hand? Is that close to you? How close is that? Well, the only way you can make it closer is have it on your cell phone and put it in your pocket. All right? It's not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea to bring it to us so that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. Now, I want us to apply this to the church today. To the church today. Because we have the truth of God. Now, the fake Christianity of this world with their redacted Bibles can't understand anything. Okay, but the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart so that you may do it. Now, how's that for a prophecy for today? Huh? So then, he goes on to say, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now, that's true for us in the church, and that's true for the people in America today. All right? Now, I've got a lot of things that I need to cover, so let's get going here. Okay? Now, let's come to Daniel, the 11th chapter. Let's ask the question, where are we in prophecy? Now, there are a lot of things going on in prophecy. There are a lot of things taking place, some of which you may have not even heard about. Okay? But let's pick it up here. Daniel 11 and verse 40. This is the key central focus of the beginning of the events at the end. And this takes place right here in verse 40, shortly before the Great Tribulation. Okay? Now then, let's read it. And at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships, and shall come into the countries and shall overflow and sweep through. And he shall also enter the glorious land. That's where Jerusalem is. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. And he shall stretch his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. Now, we're going to read a couple of things, if we get to it, about Egypt. Now then, we find that today there is no king of the north, no king of the south yet. However, Europe is in a position where they must come together. Now, that's very interesting to set up in Europe, because here you have Germany, the central power of Europe, and then you have the children of Israel all around Germany. Germany represents the Assyrian. The other countries represent the 10 tribes of Israel. Matter of fact, all 12. Now then, when you cross the ocean and come to America, we have again repeated all the tribes of Israel in America. Okay? So the prophecies concerning Israel apply. Okay? We'll look at some of those in just a minute. Next, the Middle East. Okay? The Middle East has been predicted to explode into the events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ ever since the end of World War II, and it hasn't happened yet. And the Jews are still blinded to this very day as to where the proper location of the temple will be. And the reason that is so is because if they knew where to build it, they would have built it long ago. But God doesn't want the temple rebuilt until the time is ready. And so in the Middle East, we're a long ways from it. How about Asia? Let's look at some things concerning Asia. Let's ask the question, is God able to take care of our enemies? See, you haven't heard this on the fake news or even Newsmax or Fox News. Maybe you've heard of some of it on some of the blogs and so forth. But China, our enemy, God is dealing with big time. And he has the power to do it. And we don't have to lift a finger to even hold a pistol in our hand. Okay? Because God is in charge of all the nations, we'll see in just a minute. Think of this. Yangtze tribute runs dry as China faces another month of drought. And this is August 20th. They have the worst drought in 70 or 80 years. And they can see the bottom of the Yangtze River. Now you stop and think about the Chinese with 1.5 billion to feed every day. Where are they going to get the food? Because the crops are drying up. How are they going to water it? Well, they're doing their best to get as much water as possible. And I heard that this morning, that late last night, that in Shanghai, which had been hit with the drought, which is far south in China, they finally got some rain. But they've had to shut down power plants. They've had to shut down factories. They've had to keep people in their houses. They cannot have their air conditioning going. And then you take on top of that, the Chinese have another problem. And another problem is their financial standing. China is not going to be the world's reserve currency anytime in the near future, because they have so many things against their currency. They have had to devalue it because of the drought, because of the trade, and because of the things that are affecting China. So here's another report. Okay. Now, the temperature has gotten up to 114 degrees. Who controls the weather? Who has done that to our enemies? Now, we have a drought here in America, but nothing compared to that. Okay? So the Chinese financially have had to cut their main interest rate because they have so many financial problems and the potential collapse of their housing market. Now, their housing market is different than ours. Their housing market, all these high-rise buildings where they jam in thousands and thousands of the Chinese to live. And some of these cities they have built in advance, but no one lives in them. And they're starting to fall apart. Let's come to the United States. We're looking at an avalanche of sin and an avalanche of perversion that has never been seen the like since the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. This particular one is catching on in America, but in particularly in Germany. Hold on. If you think the morals of sex have been bad, listen up. Decriminalization of sex with animals, called zoophilia. Let's come back here to Leviticus 18. God tells us these things shall not be. And there's a reason. And look at the perversions of what they are doing. The representative Green from, I forget, North or South Carolina, she was putting a bill through to ban chemical castration of children in school, which is done right now without the permission of the parents, and they don't even know. And in the classroom, in the public schools, now if you've got children in public school, you better know what's going on in there or get them home and teach them at home. Because they play on their emotions and talk them in little boys wanting to be little girls and little girls wanting to be little boys. And then they get the pharmaceuticals given to the school to administer to the children without the consent or knowledge of their parents. All right? Now, I'll just read the first part here of chapter 18. Because every evil under the sun that has ever been done with sex has been done in the past and just being repeated in the future, right now. And Satan, the devil, is the one that is behind it. And he is pushing it. So if you have children in school, you better listen up. You better check out. You better know what is there. And if you have to, you join the group that gets those administrators and teachers out of any power control within the schools. See? Because right now, in the government of the United States, they're working on regulations to allow castration of your children. In America. So you see how corrupt it is? You have to ask the question, how long? Oh God, are you going to put up with this? And what is going to be the end result of those who get involved? God gave the warning loud and clear, but because of the redacted version of the Bible by the Protestants and Catholics, they don't read it. So I'm going to read it. Leviticus 18. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You have to have the right God, the right Christ, the right truth, the right word of God. And you better love God, and you better serve God, and you better fear God, and you better live God's way. Okay? As they do in the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do. So guess what they did in Egypt? Every evil sex sin around. And you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. See, now most people are rebellious, and they don't like anyone telling them what to do. So they reject God's way. But you're not getting rid of God, and you're not getting rid of the penalty that comes when you reject it. Okay? And you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them. None of you shall approach to any who are near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. That is, come to them ready for sexual activity. That's what it means. Okay? Then it lists all of them. And you come down here. Verse 22. See? Now I'm going to tell you something. After I read this, I'm going to tell you what God showed how they corrected the situation during the days of Josiah. Okay? Because God's solution is not to get out and vote and not to get out and see if you can get all good people to go together. God's solution is that you have the right one in charge and all of these evil people are eliminated. Now in America, they can't stand for that. That's why everything in America is going to fail. Verse 22, you shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination to the Lord. You shall not lie with any animal. And that's what they want to have legalized. And legalize pedophilia. No sin. Destroy their lives. Change their sex. Ruin them forever. For the pleasure of the perverts of this world. Okay? It is an abomination. and you shall not lie with any animal to defile yourself with it, and a woman shall not stand before an animal to lie down to it. It is perversion. Do not defile yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations which I cast out before you are defiled. And the land is defiled. Look at the land. Look what is happening. Look how things are going. Not good. And it's going to get worse. Because God is going to bring pressure upon them that they are either going to change or die. Okay? And the land is defiled, therefore I visit its wickedness against it. See, God is not way off someplace where this does not happen. Look at all the atheists. Look at all the God haters that are in government at every level in the United States. And within churchianity, they don't believe God. They don't believe the word of God. All they want are sweetness and good times and God to forgive their sins so that their patty cake little soul can go to heaven. That's not from God. That's a satanic counterfeit. Do not defile yourselves in any of these things. See? He says of these other things, it is, the last part of verse 23, it is a perversion. Now, what happens when you get into perversion? Your mind and your emotions and your feelings and your thinking and everything about you becomes messed up and demonized. You don't have to have a demon because they are already doing the work in you. And you're cooperating and doing it. Look at what they have in their schools. They can't even get a law so that girls can, with athletic activities, have their separate showers from the boys. So what are you going to think that's going to lead to? What kind of idiots are running the governments of the United States and the U.S. government and the schools and the educational institutions to where they are in full embrace of Sodom and Gomorrah? Huh? That's where it's at. Do not defile yourself in any of these things, for in all these things the nations which I cast out from before you are defiled. The land is defiled, therefore I visit its wickedness against it, and the land itself vomits out those who live in it. Okay? Now God says he will do that. Now let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back in 20. Welcome back. We'll continue on with Sabbath services. I have enough material here for probably 3 or 4 messages. So I don't know how I'm going to get through it all. And we're not going to keep you overtime. But what is happening in the world is absolutely incredible. Now then. Let me read you the headline here from this article. This is what the scientists are doing. See, they want to recreate man their way. They want to reject God because he has no business in their lives. So what are they going to do? They want to live forever, but they're not going to. But they're going to try. All right? hold on to your seat, because here's what they're planning on doing. How far into it will they go? Only God knows. Human embryos without heads to be grown in mechanical wombs. Now that's what the scientists are up to. And that's why it's so important for us, brethren, to stay close to God. To really stay close to Him with His words. Let's see the prophecy of this in Romans, the first chapter. Okay? See, once you reject God and go your way, then you're turned over eventually to Satan the devil. Now, and especially these scientists, Satan is there with high level demons inspiring their absolute satanic work, thinking that they will help everyone become gods. Pick it up, Romans 1, verse 20. Now you see, they deal with things that God has already made. Verse 20, Romans 1. For the invisible things of Him are perceived from the creation of the world, being understood by the things that were made. Everything that there is was made and created by God. Not one thing came into existence without Jesus Christ, nor did it come into existence by evolution over billions of years. Both His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They know what they're doing. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their reasonings, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And that happened when they forgot God and went to evolution and followed Charles Darwin as their God and taught in every school in the world. While professing themselves to be the wise ones, they became fools, and who changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed creatures and creeping things. Okay? Now, God has some things up His sleeve against them, and that's called the James Webb Telescope, showing that the universe could not have come into existence with a great explosion. And all of the scientists are going crazy, trying to figure out how they can answer the fact that through all these, what, two centuries, they've been wrong? Let's see if we will hear any confession of repentance by these so-called learned. Now here's what happens. Always happens. See, and we need to be careful in the church. Brethren, we need to be very careful and close to God. Let me read here, verse 24. For this cause, in other words, where there is a cause, and it requires God's intervention, He's going to intervene. For this cause, God abandoned them, left them to their own, to their own devices. And who comes in to fill in the void? Oh, Satan, you have such wonderful ideas of science. Let's recreate ourselves. Abandon them to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, to disgrace their own bodies between themselves, and they all get mixed up in perverted sex. One way or the other. Who exchange the truth of God for the lie? They throw away the Bible and believe in evolution. And they worship and serve the created thing more than the one who is creator, who is blessed into the ages. Amen. For this cause God abandoned them. Second time. Okay? Down here, verse 28. God abandoned them. And then you read all of the things that he abandoned them to. Hatefulness and evil. Okay, now here's a prediction that's going to happen. See, because they won't be able to fulfill everything that they want to do. God will intervene, just like he's intervened with China with this drought, to where the main river, the Yangtze River in China, is less than a trickle. And some of its tributaries are dried up. And the temperature remains at 110, 111, 112, some cases 114 degrees to dry out every drop of moisture in everything. Okay? So God will act. All right? Here's what's going to happen. God's going to cut it all short. Okay? Mass medical bankruptcy and collapse coming. There will be so many sick people. There will be no one to take care of them. There will be bankruptcies, repossession of homes. And guess who's standing there with trillions of dollars ready to buy your properties? Huh, Rothschild, Rockefeller, BlackRock, George Soros, and all the others of the world to snatch up your property. And they want to keep the price of property so high that no one will be able to buy a home for themselves. They will only be able to lease from the elite. Oh, aren't we generous people? We will lease to you. Now, if you want to buy it, we'll give you a 50-year mortgage. Okay, here's one more. U.S. going cashless come December. Now, they've been predicting this for a long, long, long time. I doubt if it will be this December, all right? But one day, it will happen. Oh, by the way, have you heard the latest wonderful thing that Klaus Schmidt, head of the World Economic Forum, wants to do for all of the children of the world? Put a mark in their right hand. Ah! Let's get them early. Let's get them young. Let's get them trained. Let's come to Jeremiah 16. Right? Jeremiah 16. We know that God judges all the nations. And we know that when a nation does evil, he brings curses upon it. When a nation does well, he will bless them. So you can look at the history of America and see the ups and downs of it, or any other country in the world, and you will see that is true. Here is what people are going to say about what we're talking about here. Why is God going to do this? We're good people. Really? What's your standard of good? Huh? What do you think is right? What do you think is wrong? Do you have anything better than the Word of God? Of course not. So just like in the days of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 16, verse 5. Let's see what we see happening before our very eyes as we watch the television news and see what's going on. Okay? Verse 5. For thus says the Lord, do not enter into the house of mourning, do not go to weep, nor to mourn over them, for I have taken away my peace from this people. Everybody thinks, well, let's hurry up and elect Trump and he'll solve all the problems. Isn't going to happen. If Trump is reelected and any good comes out of it, it only is a space of time that God gives us to preach the gospel. It's not because the people have repented. Okay? Even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and small shall die in the land, and they shall not be buried, nor shall men mourn for them, nor cast themselves, nor cut themselves rather, nor make themselves bald for them, nor shall anyone offer food to them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Nor shall anyone give them the cup of comfort to drink of their father or for their mother. Also, you shall not go into the house of feasting to sit with those who eat and drink. That's what we have, right? Exactly what we have in America today. Those who are mourning and dying and problems, and then we have those who are feasting and having athletic games and all of this sort of thing. Okay? Verse 9. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause the voice of mirth to cease in this place before your eyes. And in your days, the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass when you declare to this people all these words, and they say to you, and I've had people say that to me, Fred, why do you keep coming after these people? Because God says, cry aloud and spare not, and show my people their sins. We need that. We need that for us so we know what we're doing in the church is correct and what is right. And we need that so we can warn the world. We do not know where any of these messages are going to go or who it's going to touch. So we better preach the truth and the word of God so that when it arrives for them, it may help them. And it shall come to pass when you declare to this people all these words, and they shall say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity and what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Okay? Here it is. Right here. Verse 11. Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them and worshiped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. Okay? If you're a Protestant, you better put down your guard and come to God in repentance. And if you're a Protestant minister, you are in worse shape than you can imagine. And don't think, because Satan the devil is blessing you with certain benefits, that it's coming from God, because it's not. And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk each one after the stubbornness of his evil heart without hearkening to me. Okay? So when that happens, look at what I read to you. Look at what they are doing. Look at how it's transpiring. Okay? What is it going to do? Where is it going to end? Well, think about it. Think about it. The greatest nation on the face of the earth, in the face of God, has rejected him. And what do you think that God is going to do? Huh? Let's come to the book of Amos, chapter 4. Let's see what God says. Now, this is special to the sons of Joseph. That's Ephraim and Manasseh. And if any of this gets over to Britland, I hope that some of you Ephraimites over there put away your stubbornness and your intellectual vanity and humble yourself and come to God. Likewise in America, God wants you to come and repent. Who knows what he will do? All right, chapter 4, verse 6. God says this. Here's what it is. See, now I imagine that if I went and stood on the steps of a large Sunday-keeping church and read some of these words, that they would call the police and have me removed as a public menace. Because they're so blinded, they can't see what they're really doing. Okay? Verse 6. And I have also given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. It's coming. Are there empty shells? Yes, indeed. Are there going to be more? Yes, indeed. Do you have anything stored? Do you have any extra water on hand? Have you made any preparations? You need to make some. And lack of bread in your places, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. That's why all of these things take place. God wants people to understand you can't be sufficient to yourself, because in him you live and move and have your being. And every breath of air you have and every drop of water you drink and every morsel of food that you eat comes from God who created it. As well as you. So think on that. What are you going to do? Okay. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. We'll see this 5 times. You haven't returned. Look at what the Protestants are trying to do with revivals. How many people, they tell you repent. Franklin Graham gets on there and says, if you confess your sins and repent, you'll have them forgiven through Jesus Christ and you'll go to heaven. He doesn't tell them what sin is. He doesn't tell them what repentance is. And all people want to do is be stroked and feel good. They don't want anything uncomfortable. Don't tell us any harsh words. Don't yell at us. Because our little tender hearts can't stand correction. Okay. Verse 7. And I have withheld the rain from you. Huh. Are we in a drought? I mean, look at China. We can thank God that he's dealing with China so that China can't come against us before it's time. This drought in China is so bad it's going to take them at least 2 years to recover if they get the rain. And who's to say God won't send such a deluge that the big Three Gorges Dam will break? Already has some cracks in it. Now, what is God going to do with us? If he's going to do that to them, okay. And I've withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. I have caused rain to fall upon one city and caused it to not fall to rain upon another. We've seen that just in the news recently. One field is rained on, and the field on which it did not rain dried up. What are you going to do? How many people know how to grow food? How many people know that it comes from seeds? That you got to plant them in the ground, and you've got to water them, you've got to take care of them, and it has to grow. How about all of those luscious tomatoes that you love? They must grow. How about all of the food that you have? Think about it. Okay, verse 8. So two or three sitters wandered to one city to drink water, and they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. How many people are willing to return? I mean, look in the churches of God. How many are willing to return to God? How many, because of the problems within the church, just got up and walked away? Were they ever converted? Where did they go? What are they doing? What are their lives? We don't know. Verse 9, I've stricken you with blasting and mildew when your garden and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees were increased. The creeping locust devoured them, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. So let's ask the question, what will it take? And then we will see, what do we need to do? Okay? Because that's important. God is looking down here on his people, wherever they are, and wants to know, do you love me? Do you obey me? Do you desire my way? That's what God wants to know. Verse 10. I've sent the plague among you after the manner of Egypt. How many have had COVID? How many have been sick? How many have died? Huh? Now, they finally come up with a way to get at Donald Trump. Blame him for all the COVID vaccine deaths. Ha! And how long ago was it I said that Donald Trump better distance himself from that, or they're going to get him for it? Now what are you going to do? All right? I've slain young men with a sword, and have taken away your houses. I have made the stench of your camps to come up into your nostrils, yet you did not return to me. Will we? Will America? Will the people? Will those who have been in the church of God and need to come back to God, will you return to God? Will you repent of your sins? Huh? I've overthrown some among you as God has overthrown Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Look at all the things we had with the burning 2020. The cities, the cars, the buildings, the police, all burned. Oh, we're righteous people, defund the police. Yay. Okay. So he says in verse 12, here's a warning for the nation and here's a warning for us. And God gives plenty of time. God gives plenty of space. And God made sure that his Bible was produced and translated around the world in the nations of the world so that no one could say, oh God, you never told me. But God will say, I sent you my word, but you wouldn't read it. And those who read it didn't believe it and keep it. If you don't think that is true, answer this question. How many people today can you look out and see in the world who are keeping the Sabbath holy as God said? So God says, therefore I will do this to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. And that means in disaster. Now then, he gives a way out. He gives them a chance. God is always interested in repentance. Let's pick it up, verse 4, chapter 5. For thus says the Lord. Okay, now there were five returned to me. You have not returned to me. Now we're going to find five seek me. Okay? Now how do you seek God? By repenting of your sins. By coming to him, by reading his word, by giving up your way and looking to say to God, your will be done, not my will. Okay? Verse 4. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and you shall live. But do not seek Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal. That's the fake religion of Christianity today. And do not pass to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. And Bethel means house of God. All right. Verse 6. Seek the Lord. And you find that in Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way and his thoughts. That's how you do it? Okay. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like a fire on the house of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You who turn judgment into wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. Okay. That's what we've been doing as a society. Seek him. So there it is, number 3. Seek God. See, it takes the effort. It's not a matter of a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart. It's a matter of, it's from the innermost part of your being of repentance to God. Seek him who created Pleiades and Orion and who turned the deep darkness into the morning, him who darkened the day into night. Seek him. Number 4. Okay? who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Okay? So God intervenes to do all of those things. Come over here to verse 14. Again, the fifth time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, says the Lord. The God of hosts shall be with you as he has spoken. Notice what you're to do in your daily life. Hate the evil. Love the good. And establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Okay? It may be. Well, what about the church? What are we to do? What does God want us to do? Let's see the focus of everything. Let's come to Mark 12. The focus of everything that God wants from us. Okay? In everything that we do, and that we really apply ourselves to the Word of God, to love God, to keep His commandments, to live by every word of God. Okay? Let's come to Mark 12. Okay? Here's what God wants. See? It's not that you, on the Sabbath, come to church. That's all well and good and should be, and you ought to. But what's the rest of your life like during the rest of the week? Do you pray? Do you study? Do you draw close to God? What is it? What is it that God wants? God wants this. And with His Spirit and with His truth, with His mercy and with His goodness and with His holiness to help you, to guide you. But we all have to come to God. All of us in the churches of God. Set aside all the stupidity and wretchedness that we have brought into our lives living into this world. See? And focus on this one main thing. Verse 28. Scribe came and said, which is the greatest, the first commandment of all? Okay? Proto, first, the most important one. Here's what God wants. Because everything else that God does is based upon this. And everything that you do toward God is based upon this. Okay? Verse 29. Then Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. Open your ears and open your mind. And whatever your name is, put your name there. Our one God is the Lord, the Father and the Son. And they are there to help. They are there with the truth, with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God, with the love of God. Okay? Verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now notice the complete involvement in your life. Every aspect of your being. It's not just a religion that you do one day a week or assemble one day a week or whatever. It's a whole, complete way of coming to God. Just like we read back there in Amos, seek the Lord. Return to Him. Okay, verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. No reservations. All your heart. That means all your emotions, everything that's in you. And with all your soul. That's your whole physical being. Okay? And with all your mind. And what does God want? He wants His laws and commandments and his truth written in our minds and in our hearts to do his will, so that we love God and think with his word and live our lives according to his truth. This is what God wants in these difficult times for the people in the churches of God. See? And with all your strength, okay? This is the first commandment. The second one is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself, for there is no other commandment greater than these. And it says in Matthew 22, with the parallel account here, that upon these, this hangs all the law and the prophets. Now, if the Protestants would just understand that and come to God the way that he wants. Okay? Let's come to the book of 1 John. Because here's what we are to do. Okay? Here's how it is. Now, a lot of us do not have any group to go with, the fellowship group or small church or whatever. But we are all assembled before God right now through the device of live streaming. And this is just as if we were all assembled into one room. And God's Spirit is there to help you and guide you and to lead us in the way that we need to go. Okay? Now, here's what we need to do in loving God. Let's come here to chapter 4, 1 John. In verse 4, and in the days of John, the apostasy was growing. And so that's why we have all of these commandments here. He says, you are of God, little children. That's what we are. We are of God. We have God's Spirit. We have God's Word. We have God's truth. We are of God. We're not of the world. We're not of some corporation. We're of God. Think of that. God the Father in heaven above and Jesus Christ at his right hand. We are of God. And have overcome them. That has overcome all the forces in the world against God and the commandments of God. Because greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. Christ is in you. The Father is in you. John 14, Jesus said, the one who loves me and keeps my word, the Father and I will dwell within him. That's what it is for us. See? They are of the world because of this. They speak of the world and the world hears them. We are of God. The one who knows God listens to us. The one who is not of God does not listen to us. By this means we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of the deception. And this is what we need to always focus on. The truth of God. The love of God. Strong in our lives. Because the spirit of deception is out there always working, churning, and accomplishing the evil of Satan the devil. Beloved, we should love one another. That's important. Loving one another means it starts with God first. And when we are learning and doing all of these things, God will be with us to help us, to correct us, to lead us in what we need to do. And if God leads you in correction, understand that it's for a blessing. Understand that it's for good. Beloved, we should love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been begotten by God and knows God. Okay? That's true. That's what it has to be with the Spirit of God always. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this way, the love of God was manifested toward us, to each one of us. God manifested his love through Christ, through his sacrifice, through his death, through his resurrection, through his continuously being our high priest in heaven right now, that we come to him his way, that we seek God his way, that we return to God his way. Yes, the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this way, the love of God was manifested to us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And that has to do with the first resurrection. In this act of love, now then, we need to understand what an absolute marvelous thing that God did. To come to this earth as a human being and do what he did and die the way he died and was resurrected from the dead by the power of God the Father to sit at his right hand as our high priest. Magnificent thing indeed. Okay? In this act is the love, not that we love God, rather that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Okay, now verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, now think about how much God has loved you. Think about how he has given his word. Think about how he has given his spirit and given understanding to these things, to watch over us and protect us in these dangerous times, which they are. God is there. And we need to pray to him every day and study every day and draw close to him, because that's the only way we're going to survive the onslaught of the evil of this world. Okay? Now let's pick it up here in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. God is love. And the one who dwells in love is dwelling in God, and God in him. So as we look at what's happening in the world, let's draw close to God this way. By this spiritual indwelling, the love of God is perfected within us. The process of conversion and change and growing and overcoming and putting away sin and putting away the things of the flesh, all are left behind, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because even as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in the love of God. So regardless of what happens, regardless of how all of these things come about, don't have any fear. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and the one who fears has not been made perfect in the love of God. We love him because he loved him first. Okay? That's what we are to do. So living in these days, we know it's difficult living in the end times. But God is here. God is with us. God will bless us, and we ask God to intervene in your life in every way, for God's intervention and healing and strengthening in these times that we're facing. So until next week, so long, everyone.